Good morning. I want to say a little prayer because I'm nervous, okay? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In 1988, that was a long time ago, I watched a video that my neighbor Rosie brought over to my house, and it was a demonstration that Ray Hunt had done at a fairgrounds in Northern California. And I started riding horses when I was 8 years old, so I've been around them my whole life, and I had never seen anybody do anything with a horse like this guy did. And she said, there's a clinic. One of this guy's students is doing a clinic in Mojave next week. Let's go. So we did. We put our horses in the trailer, and we hooked up our campers, and we went to the clinic. We didn't really know what to expect. But when we had unloaded our horses into the pens, we heard people talking about a filly. And she was the talk of everybody in the group. There was about 50 people there who were observers and about another 50 who were participating in the clinic. Everybody was talking about this filly. She came from a big, big ranch north of Fresno. And they had lots of cattle, and they had lots of horses, and they had appendix quarter horses. You cross a quarter horse and a thoroughbred, and you get an appendix quarter horse, and they're very, very fast, and they can race them. They had an aged mare, and she was getting almost too old to have babies, but they took her to a very nice stallion, and they really hoped they would have a very nice baby. But she didn't seem to be pregnant, so they turned her out in 180 acres. And she was the only horse out there. There were a lot of cattle. Very rough country, very steep hillsides, rocks, trees, streams. Very, very big. And they would check on her from time to time from a great distance. And when they actually got up close to her 2 years later, she had a baby. She had a filly. A filly is a female baby horse. So she had this filly, and it was a very nice filly. And they wanted very much to bring her in and start training her. But they couldn't catch her. She was too fast. They tried to rope her. They tried to get her in a pen. They could not catch her. So someone suggested that they go to the Fresno Zoo with their vet and borrow a tranquilizer gun. Tranquilizer gun doesn't shoot bullets. It shoots a dart about that big and about the size of my thumb. And it's like getting a shot, only you can do it from a long way away. And when the dart hits the horse, it gives them the shot. And that little bit of medicine that's in the dart makes them go to sleep. They go slower and slower and slower, and then they just stop, and they lay down, and they go to sleep. When she was asleep, they wrapped her legs very carefully, and they padded the bottom of a big trailer, and they winched her into a trailer and drove her to Mojave. She arrived there about an hour before the clinic was to start. And so everybody was talking about this filly because she had never been touched, not when she was awake, not by a human being. And they weren't quite sure how the guy who was doing the clinic, his name was Buck, what he would do with a horse that had never been touched, because they're wild. So Buck walked up to her corral, and he had a halter in one hand, and he had his lariat in the other, and he just stood there for a while. And of course, when he walked in, she started running. She was very, very frightened. She tried to climb the railings. She was very, very frightened. But he started walking towards her, and she would move. And in about 10 minutes, she had stopped running, unless he wanted her to. But we're watching him very closely. The people there at the clinic, most of us were horse people, been around horses all of our lives, and we had never seen anybody work with a wild horse like this. And he wasn't using any words. He wasn't using any gestures. But she seemed to know exactly what he wanted her to do, and she was doing it. And we would watch, and I would nudge my neighbor, Rosie, and I would say, how did he do that? And I turned around to the people behind me and said, did you see that? How did he do that? In about half an hour, she stopped running. He backed up, and she walked right up to him and laid her face on his chest. And he started to rub her ears, and he massaged her eyes, and he ran his hand down her face, and he cupped his hands under her muzzle and breathed into her nostrils. She was like a great big puppy. She followed him everywhere he went around the corral. The horses that I knew, that I rode every day, didn't do that with me. Buck is what I would call a horse whisperer. He speaks horse. We speak English or Spanish or other languages. But when you're dealing with a horse, you need to learn how to speak horse. Only they're not words that you speak. When you learn to speak horse, it's a feeling. It's your confidence. It's your energy. If you walk fast, there's lots of energy. If you walk slow and relaxed, there's not much energy. And these are the things that helps you to communicate with the horse. God, our lovely Jesus, is a people whisperer. He knows you. He knows every detail of your life. He loves you. He takes care of you. And we have two books that tell us about Jesus. We have the Bible, which has words in it, and we have the book of nature and horses. And if you have a dog or a cat, they will help us learn about Jesus and how much he loves us and how much he loves our dogs and our cats and our horses. This clinic I went to and I saw this filly who'd never been touched changed my life. It changed how I saw myself. It changed how I saw other people. It changed how I saw all of my horses. And it changed how I saw God. God is a people whisperer. And he loves us so much. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And all the joy that filled my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Talk to Jesus, and he will help you never be afraid, and you will know that you're never alone, and that he will always be there for you. Thank you.